All right, guys, so now we're jumping into The Dark Knight, released in 2008. It is actually pretty much a continuation straight from Batman Begins into the next movie. Now, in this movie, we get introduced to our villain right away. We get introduced to the Joker. Heath Ledger is
Phenomenal.
phenomenal in this movie. He's one of the best, well, arguably one of
The best,
the
arguably.
best Jokers that has ever graced our presence. He actually ended up winning an Emmy and a Golden Globe for his performance, sadly after he passed away for it. But
He was also rated the number one movie villain of all time by the MMD movie site. And by actually, like quite of other ref like movie sites have like voted him in as basically the best villain to have ever been put on the big screen.
right. So we get introduced to him at the very beginning. We see five guys robbing a bank. We have two guys on the roof, three guys in the car. They break into the bank. Everybody starts doing their jobs. Systematically throughout the bank heist, they end up
Each
murdering
person's
each
job
per as soon as they complete their job, they end up
being killed.
getting
The next
killed.
person's job is to kill them and continue on
Right.
until it lays down to the Joker and one other person.
Right. So, starts out, of course, with great action. One of my favorite parts is the bank manager. We find out that the bank is actually a mob bank, and that's why they are robbing it, because there's just millions of dollars there. So the bank manager comes out and he has a sawed-off shotgun and he's shooting at the Joker and the guy who is with the Joker. And
If you notice closely, the Joker tells his henchmen that the he's counting,
yeah,
obviously,
I was just getting to
shots.
that point.
Okay, sorry.
He was the henchman looks at him and says, "He's out, right?" Referencing the fact that the other guy was keeping count of the shots, so he says yes. Guy pops up, gets shot with the shotgun, ends up shooting the bank manager. So at that
He
point,
gets grazed by the shotgun.
he gets grazed by the shotgun, pops up, shoots the bank, or the Joker pops up, shoots the bank manager. Then we see them bringing, or the Joker kills the guy who he's with. The other guy who is robbing the vault brings all the money out, and then turns and looks at the Joker and says, "Well, I'm sure that the Joker told you to kill me once I got the money out here." And the Joker, slowly moving,
Laughingly,
switching positions,
playfully.
says, "I'm not supposed to kill you, I'm supposed to kill the bus driver."
In which nobody knows that there's a bus, so
Right. Nobody knows
except
that
for
there's a bus
him.
coming. So as we're standing there, the bus barrels through the wall, killing the guy who the Joker was planning on killing. So the bus driver and the Joker load all the money into the
Bus.
bus, and then the Joker shoots him and walks over to the bank manager, who at this point is shouting, saying, "Crime in this town used to mean something. Criminals had a code. Yada yada
There's
yada. What
no
do you
loyalty.
believe in?" And this is where we actually get the image of the iconic makeup that comes out. He pulls off the fake clown mask that he's wearing, exposing his face and his scars, and he says, "What do I believe in? I believe in whatever doesn't kill you makes you stranger."
Which is kind of a very iconic line. It's almost as iconic as Why So Serious from him.
Right.
He references it quite a few times throughout the movie.
So at this point, he puts a grenade in the bank manager's mouth, hops in the bus, starts driving away. As he drives away, the bank manager's waiting for this grenade to go off, and it ends up being a smoke grenade.
He's fucking with him.
Yeah. And right as he
Excuse
pulls
my language.
out, he gets right in line with the rest of the buses, so.
He obviously knew that there was a school trip and synchronized his robbery to go with it. This was a little far-fetched, but it did explain the realistic approach that, again, Nolan is trying to portray, as in how would this guy back a bus to a bank and then get away with it? Well, he coordinated with a school trip.
Right. And this just starts to show the base level of intelligence that the Joker has.
And how deep his fingers go, because obviously the bus behind him had to be one of his drivers to leave a gap for him to come out.
Right, and the gap was actually a perfect gap for the size of the bus.
Right, so he knew that that bus was coming at that time and would be in that spot, and it kind of just shows how in-depth and really like intelligent that this Joker is.
Right. So then we cut to the next scene, which has Gordon in the bank vault. The bat shows up. They
signify that only the unmarked bills were left. So somebody knew that they were marking the bills.
Right.
Which again signifies the intelligence of this villain.
Right. So then we cut to all the gangsters in a kitchen of sorts. If you think back to the way that it looked, I'm pretty sure it was
one of their restaurants they were in the back of, probably the Russians or one of Maroney's,
yeah, who actually ended up taking over the Falcone crime family after Falcone was dead.
Committed. Yeah. Dead. One of the two.
Yeah, so at this point, they're all coming in, they're all sitting down, they're talking, and then the TV cuts on, and we see one of our main bad guys, Lau, who is a money launderer.
He's definitely, I guess, one of the main villains of the movie, but he's more of a sub-villain, if anything.
Yeah, he's definitely not a main villain. He's a sub-villain. Yeah, you're 100% right.
He's definitely a sub-villain.
I like that they did with this movie is that there was not multiple stages of villains here.
No.
There was the villain.
And everyone under.
And then everybody else who was playing for the bad guys were all sub-villains.
Right. They didn't try to introduce too much into one movie.
Which, I really like that fact.
Yeah.
So, we're going through, they're having their meeting. Lau tells them that Harvey Dent, the district attorney, has put all of his competitors out of business. So he's the only one that they could turn to. And at this point, he heard through well-placed sources that all the mob banks were going to be raided and all the money was going to be seized. So without approval from the mob bosses, he actually moved all the money before having this meeting with them.
Which really does show like his extent of, like, I mean, even though he is a sub-villain and he's easily taken out, it does show that he is a villain and he does have power. I mean, if he was able to take all the mob's money and then convince him that it's okay and it's safe with me, shows that he does have an extent of a silver tongue and power throughout this movie.
Right, because in all actuality, he never actually discloses where the mob money went. They asked, he said, I could be the only one who knows.
If one of you's caught, you could snitch on the rest.
Exactly, and then everybody's money would be gone. But what we also get the challenge here is that he's outside of Harvey Dent's jurisdiction and China will not extradite one of their own.
Which is also a fact. China is a non-extraditable country. They're still actually a communist country. So basically, yeah, they're not... Many American whistleblowers and people like that flee to China and Russia because they're non-extraditable countries.
Right. So then we hear the metal detector go off and we hear that iconic Joker laugh coming as he's walking into the kitchen, in which then he says, I know a schemer when I see one, and I know somebody who's going to fold when I see one, and that guy on the TV is...
He's soft. He's soft. He's basically saying, I know a sissy when I see one, and I know a squealer. He says, I know a squealer.
Squealer. That's what I was looking for.
And he references he squeezes his hands and says, Batman will make him squeal. Batman has no jurisdiction.
Right. So then we see reference to, then all the mob bosses look at him because they know that he knocked over one of their banks.
And Lau essentially turns the camera off.
Right. Because he was done at outed. That point.
He was outed.
So we see Gumball, one of the mob bosses.
Gamble.
He actually calls him Gumball a little bit later in
What's
that
your name,
action.
Gumball?
Yeah. We see him actually start getting irritated because he said, "How are you planning on stealing from us and then come in here?"
And he's planning on walking out of here?
Yeah.
And that's my favorite part. He says, "Yeah." So nonchalantly, like, "Of course I'm going to walk in here and walk back out."
Yeah. So then he has one of his henchmen get up and he basically says, "Enough from the clown. I want him dead."
I love this part.
The henchman gets up, walks down. Joker says, "I'm going to show you a magic trick. I'm going to make this pencil disappear," as he jams it into the table. And as the guy walks up, he literally just grabs him by the back of the head and
pushes the pencil through his eye socket.
And then when the guy falls back, pencil's gone.
Ta-da!
he says they criticized his suit and they said,
Call him insane, crazy.
Yeah, basically everything that could go along with it. And he references the fact that it wasn't a cheap suit, they should know because they paid for it, because he used the money from his robbery to buy his custom suit.
He also, if you notice, they focus in on the fact that he takes very, very serious offense to the fact that they called him crazy. He's very quick to say, "I'm not crazy. I am not crazy." And in all sense of the word, insane, he really isn't. He's illogical. He's erratic, but he's definitely an intelligent person. I mean,
so then we cut to the end of the meeting where they all decide to hear him out after he kills this guy, and he says, they ask him what he suggests, and of course his suggestion is to kill the bat. And they all say, "Well, if you're so good, if you're this awesome villain, why haven't you done it yet?" And then we get the classic phrase,
"Yeah,
why do something that you're good at for free?
Never do something that you're good at for free."
Right. So then they say,
"What
do you want,
ladies and gentlemen?" Very true.
"What do you want?" And he says, "Half," and they all laugh. And he said,
"Oh yeah, I'm not crazy.
I'm not crazy.
I'm not.
Here's my card. Call me when you're ready to take things a bit more seriously." Where this is where we're starting to get that "why so serious?"
Right. And kind of this like almost eccentric kind of like in your face arrogance, if you will, that he grabs his coat and grabs a grenade pin or a grenade string and says, "You know, this conversation is ready to blow," or something like to that reference, that basically I'll kill everybody in this room, including myself. I don't care as long as I take you with me, type thing.
Right.
And they realize the severity that this man is betraying, like the severity of the threat that this man is to hit them and the bat.
Now, just to point out, when I said that he left his card is not the traditional business card. It's literally a Joker playing card out of a deck of cards.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally no other information on it. It's just a Joker card. So we cut to Wayne Enterprises, where Lucius is now the CEO again. And Bruce has him working this mock deal up with Lau, because Bruce knows that Lau's involved with these mob bosses.
And he's corrupt. He needed a real reason to actually look at the man's books and look at his finances. And if you in real life, if you were to do something like that, that would actually be the perfect tactic, is to lure them into a business deal, as a lucrative businessman. And Lau is gonna flaunt what he does and the amount of money he gets, and especially with somebody who's has the extensive capabilities as far as technology that Batman does. He would be able to hack and see what's really going on. But this was a way for him to just get his foot in the door with Lau, which was, I liked a lot. I thought it was really smart.
Yeah, and then so on the backside, because this Lau contacted Lucius and told him that they had to put their meeting on hold because he had to leave suddenly for business. So Lucius, who's having his accountants run the numbers of the merger just to see if it would be beneficial, has Colin Reese running the numbers, in which Reese comes across very incriminating documents.
Sensitive information about the Tumblr and such other things.
Right. So with that, Reese goes to Lucius and says, I know you noticed your baby on the news, showing him the Tumblr blueprints and all that.
Crushing cop cars.
And then Lucius is like, well, what do you want? And Reese says, I want $10 million a year for the rest of my life. And Lucius looks at him and chuckles and says, You think that your boss is a vigilante that's running around Gotham stopping villains.
Beating them to a pulp with his bare hand. You think your billionaire boss is a vigilante running around Gotham beating criminals to a pulp with his bare hands.
And you're going to blackmail him.
Yeah, and your plan is to blackmail this guy.
Good luck.
Yeah. Go ahead and try to blackmail Batman and see what happens. You'll disappear forever. You won't be dead, but you'll be on a deserted island with no contact.
Pretty much. So then,
again, referencing, I'm not going to kill you, but I don't have to save you either.
Right. So then Reese ends up deciding that he's going to go to the news with this information.
Well, after the Joker starts threatening to blow up hospitals and various other things, you know, he...
Well, the hospital blow-up comes after he goes to the news.
That's true, because then he decides he doesn't want Reese to out Batman, and that wouldn't be fun. He wants to be the one to out the Bat.
Right. Now, before we get to that point, though, we have a very pivotal, what you just brought up. The Joker says that Batman needs to demask himself, or he's going to kill somebody every day he doesn't. So at this stage, we see a news reporter. It was not a news reporter. Mm-hmm. It was somebody who was dressed as Batman.
Oh, swing
into the window of the mayor while he's talking to Gordon. And on it, it has, later they show a video on the news that gets sent into the news, it's which this threat is made. And that gentleman was the first gentleman to die. But interesting fact about that video, though, it was actually recorded by Heath Ledger with Christopher Nolan on the, just monitoring it, just keeping an eye on it. But it was actually 100% the script, everything was done by Ledger and filmed by Ledger as well.
It was completely improvisation. Ledger took a video camera. He thought it would be more realistic, like if he took just a regular video camera and recorded this stuff. And, you know, another funny fact is that the actor that played the guy that was hanging upside down, which we eventually figure out that he is, said that Ledger actually scared him during this scene. And it, like, the fear that he shows on that camera and the tremble in his voice is actually real. Heath Ledger scared the life out of this dude in this scene by just being, you know, being a Joker. Like,
right. So then we cut to Harvey Dent calling a press conference.
Right.
In which he is basically going against what the Joker said. Let's not give in to this madman's desires.
But it's also very important to note that Bruce and Rachel had a conversation before this press conference in which Bruce admitted to Rachel that he was going to unmask himself, and she thought that that was the right thing, and then in which Alfred comes in a later scene and convinces Bruce that that is not the right thing to do, and that he needs to be tough when
he needs to endure.
Endure is what he says. You need to endure.
And we get that during Harvey Dent's speech to the public, in which he says, which is where the title of the movie comes from, that the night is always darkest before the dawn. Things are getting worse, yes, but they have to get worse to get better.
Yes.
At this point, everybody does not care what Harvey has to say.
No,
They want him unmasked. They want people to stop dying. So at this point,
it's important to note too that in Harvey's defense, like as against deciding with Batman and not wanting him to be unveiled, he does tell the people, "Do you really think that Batman taking his mask off is going to stop this madman?"
Yeah, that's a good point too. And to reference a point that you were just talking about, with the cops screaming "No more dead cops" and stuff like that, literally the scene before this. They have the commissioner's, the old police commissioner's funeral, in which the mayor was speaking, and the Joker called out that he was going to kill the mayor.
He was
going to
kill Harvey Dent and the mayor.
And so at this point, Gordon, to prevent the mayor from getting shot, Gordon actually
jumps in front of the bullet.
Jumps in front of the bullet is dead.
Is dead, essentially, yes. For the plot so far.
So then we cut back to the scene that we were just talking about, and when nobody wants to listen to Harvey, they decide that Harvey decides that he's going to take the blame for the Batman.
Right, he's going to step up to the mantle because he knows the true importance in what Batman is representing, and he knows that, like he said, the night is darkest before the dawn, and I can attest from somebody, honestly, just in my personal life experience. I've lived in various places, had various experiences, good and bad. And I can tell everybody that, it is darkest before the dawn. And he knew what was coming. He knew that the dawn was coming and that he couldn't stop this movement now.
Right. So then at that point, we cut to Dent being arrested, taken away in handcuffs. They're getting ready to transfer him to the prison.
I think they're taking him to, that or Arkham.
Yeah. And so they put him in the back of a SWAT van, full police escort. We're talking
Decked.
We're talking cars, helicopters, vans, SWAT mobiles.
We're talking if Tookie Williams was getting transported, this is what it'd be like.
Right.
For those of you that don't know, Tookie Williams is the leader of the Crips. Who's dead now, but
was
the founder of the Crips.
So with that, we see them starting to transport Dent. And then we have Joker.
I love this.
Start actually attacking this police caravan.
If you look closely to his he steals a 18-wheeler for a fare, and on the side it says laughter, and he spray paints an S before the L, so it actually says slaughter. And it's kind of just a small little Easter egg detail, but every time I've watched the movie, it just catches me, and I don't know. It just shows, again, the cleverness of the Joker in this movie.
But it also, in reference to that, too, the way that the Joker played this plan out was very ingenious. Mm-hmm. So he actually blocked the road with a fire truck that was on fire.
Right.
Which made them detour into an underground road.
Under the bridges and stuff like that. It was kind of under.
So they lost their air support.
And they said, "We're going to go underneath, that we're like sitting ducks down there." The cops knew it, but they also knew they had no other choice.
So they go underneath, the 18-wheeler comes out, and the Joker essentially starts taking them out. They use everything from guns to rocket launchers.
It goes from a automatic 45 to then up to an Uzi, and then from that he takes a shotgun, a street sweeper, if you will, actually. And then, as he graduates to these stronger weapons, after the shotgun hits, Dent says something to one of the SWAT members. Can they, are they going to bust through? And the SWAT man says they're going to need something a lot stronger than that to get through these walls, as in which the Joker is handed a rocket launcher.
Now, at this point, we see Bruce coming up in the Batmobile. And right as the Joker launches the rocket launcher, he hits the tumblers, engines, and actually flies up right into the line of the rocket launcher, taking the full impact.
And essentially destroying the tumbler.
Right, and which then, right at that point, they're at the point where they could go back up onto the main road again and get their air support back.
Right.
So now we've literally the lost.
Joker, the Joker is
prepared for. But at this point, we have actually lost the whole escort minus the SWAT van that was carrying Harvey Dent.
Yeah, only that one's left, which was the lead SWAT car. Every other one's been taken out.
At this point, the Tumbler is destroyed, like you just said, and he launches into the Bat Cycle, which is a kind of...
I loved it.
It's kind of like, it's a motorcycle, but it's part of the Tumbler that gets...
It's the two front wheels of the Tumbler, and as they pull out and disconnect, they form like somewhat of a cycle in between them. But by them being synchronized wheels, it's cool how they did it. Like this kind of threw me off a little bit. And it's always been a bit of a pet peeve of mine in the movie. Okay, so they show him, turn around, roll the tires, you know, and turn around, and then come back towards the Joker as he weaves through traffic and shoots his lines to stop the Joker's 18-wheeler. It shows him get to the end, and he stops at a building, and the wheels roll. Well, what has always been a little bit of a pet peeve of mine is, okay, so when he's coming towards the Joker and the Joker's saying, hit me, hit me, hit me, why does he not just roll past him? And then, but then it, after I watched it another time, I realized that he did this on purpose. He wrecked his bike on purpose to think that he was out for the count. And the Joker had the upper hand at this time, as though he thought. And he sends one of his henchmen ahead, of course, because he's not an idiot, to pull Batman's mask off. And what's this time this dude gets the living shit shocked out of him and passes out. And the Joker makes a hilarious joke out of it and then proceeds to say, now let's see who's really under the mask. In which time...
Our old friend, Commissioner... Detective Gordon comes out and pushes a gun to the Joker's back, unmasking himself, showing the Joker that he did not die.
And he was actually driving the truck that Dent was in the entire time. And throughout this time, the guy that's in the passenger seat is constantly talking to him, and he's not answering. And that's so that nobody can recognize his voice.
Right.
He's supposed to be dead. So, you know, I really... For a long time, that irked me. Like, why didn't he roll his wheel? And then I realized, this was all to set the Joker up. He wrecked his bike and pretended to be out for the count, all so the Joker would feel that he had the upper hand and that Gordon could come in with the element of surprise, once again, being aware of your surroundings.
Right. And then, of course, we see Gordon opening the back of the truck, releasing Dent, and Dent being like, I guess you really were playing this one really close to the chest.
Yeah. I'll say.
So.
And then we flash to his wife as he comes home, kind of very, as she would be. She was hysterical, you know, kind of mad at him, but unrelenting happiness obviously overcame her, and she jumped into Jim's arms, realizing that he's not dead and he is alive.
Yeah, and then, of course, we see the very emotional scene where he goes in and
talks to his son and explains that he actually saved the Batman this time.
Then we cut to the Joker in jail. And as we see the Joker, Gordon comes in. Gordon comes in and tells everybody to stay away from the bars, asks what they found on him, in which all that he had was knives, no tags on him.
Little crappy pocket knives and razor blades.
No identification. No identification, nothing on his clothes. All of his clothes were custom made, all that. And then the mayor walks in and then essentially promotes Gordon to
commissioner. Which he is... very early on in the comics, the detective, they were called. They weren't even called Batman yet. They were called the Detective Comics. And Gordon actually was a detective, and somebody else was commissioner. But as the comics rolled on and Batman progressed, they decided that Jim Gordon would be best as commissioner, which is, Jim Gordon was always a fan favorite. He always will be. He's always been a fan favorite of mine. course.
Yeah, definitely.
He shows
he's the Batman, but
he's the embodiment of what Batman represents.
He's uncorruptible. He's
unbreakable.
Yeah, he's that guy who, regardless of what happens to him, he always comes back.
And he's always looking to do the next right thing. He's never looking out for himself, always the best interest of everyone around him.
So, in all actuality, he takes what Bruce is trying to instill, but he is actually the living embodiment of Batman, even though he's not Batman.
He is the prime example of what Batman's trying to inspire in the common person. Jim has had these qualities all along, which makes him a very viable ally to Batman. But in all reality, yeah, this Jim is what Batman is trying to embody in the people. And that is that, you know, always do the next right thing. Everyone is capable of good, you know.
Right. So at this point, we discover that Harvey Dent and Rachel Doss have gone missing.
And obviously, someone on the police force is corrupt.
Right. So then we go into an interrogation room with Jim Gordon and the Joker. And Jim, basically...
He knows he's not getting anything.
He knows he's not going to get anything out of him. So then he gets up. He undoes his handcuffs, gets up and says, if we're going to be doing this all night, I'm going to need a cup of coffee. And starts walking out. And... the Joker looks at Jim and says, what, we're going to do the good cop, bad cop thing? And Jim turns around and says, not exactly, not as he quite. Shuts the door. But then, of course, the lights turn on. Who's standing right behind the Joker?
No other than Batman.
No other than Batman.
Who then slams the Joker's head, and the Joker makes a comic remark about Batman.
Never starting with the head, it makes everything all fuzzy. They can't feel the next blow, in which... Batman essentially punches the Joker's hand to the point where...
Broke it,
in which then you could tell that the Joker felt that next blow.
But he said, see?
Yeah.
As in, you know, he's trying very, very hard not to fold to Batman's strong-arm game. He's trying to keep this on an intellectual level because he knows that he can't strong-armly beat Batman, but on an intellectual level, he can torture him.
Right. So then we go into Batman interrogating them.
Bitch is going into a rage and beating the hell out of the Joker.
Pretty much.
Throwing him up against the glass, the two-way glass window, breaking it, essentially leaving glass all over the floor.
Which will come into play in here in a little bit. But what we get is the Joker now is telling Batman, you're going to have to break your one rule tonight.
Somebody's got it. You got to let somebody die.
Which is the big no-no for Batman. Nobody has to die. I can solve all this without killing
everyone. I can save. He says in Batman Begins that I can save everyone.
So then we see the Joker giving two addresses.
Which were wrong.
They weren't wrong. They were the right addresses, but he told them the different people, the opposite people.
He knew that earlier in this movie, we kind of skipped over one of my favorite parts of the movie is when it's Bruce's birthday again.
No, it was a fundraiser.
Fundraiser for Harvey. That's what it was. And Bruce put it on, and the Joker shows up. And it's really funny. It was another improv. He grabs a glass of champagne and then he throws it behind him and then acts to drink it but what that signifies is Bruce also does that. If you see him earlier in the movies, he dumps his champagne out and stuff whenever he always keeps a clear mind. He's never clouded. The Joker is extremely intelligent, and this is the second time that we hear an origin story from the Joker. And it is different from the first one. The first one, he told Gamble that his wife got in deep with the sharks and they cut up her face. So then he did that to his face to make her feel good, and she couldn't look at him anymore.
Actually, the one he told Gamble was, that's one they just told, he tells Rachel and the senior talking about. The one he tells Gamble is that his father was a fiend.
Yes.
And came after his mother with a kitchen knife. Then he went to the Joker went to protect his mom, couldn't do it. Dad came up and said, why are you so serious?
Why so serious?
you shouldn't be so serious. Let's put a smile on that face. And when she puts the kitchen knife in the Joker's mouth and slices the permanent face.
You're right. And then when he meets Rachel, that's when he divulges that his wife got in deep with the sharks. But what this signifies is that it doesn't matter where he came from. It doesn't matter. Nothing. The past doesn't matter. The only thing that matters to him is what he's going to do. And him showing up there, one of my favorite lines of the movie is when he busts the window out and he has Rachel hanging out the window and Batman famously says, "Let her go." And he looks at him and says, "Poor choice of words," and drops her out of the window.
In which Batman then dives after her because
that's risking his own life to save her.
Right.
And now the Joker knows that there's
some kind of connection.
There's something that he can use as leverage against the Bat. There is someone.
Right. So then he tells Batman that Harvey's at one address, Rachel's at another, but of course they're in the opposite location.
Knowing that
so
Bruce
the Bat Batman
Rachel
runs out. Gordon says, "Who are you going after?" He says, "I'm going after Rachel." They said, "Okay, we're going
after Harvey."
After Harvey, in which then we see them split up. Now, I mean, of course, with Batman being Batman, he can get places a lot quicker than most people
he
can.
He got to.
So he gets to the warehouse in which he thought Rachel was being held at.
501.
And as he gets in there, Harvey had knocked his chair over and had knocked a drum of gasoline over.
Soaking half of his body.
So he gets there and he actually ends up rescuing Harvey. And right when the police pull up to the second building, the bombs in both buildings go off.
And you see that Rachel's still on the roof and that they didn't make it in time. And Batman... But you can see when Batman shows up and kicks the door in, he pauses for just a second. And he realizes the Joker got him. And
yeah.
Rachel was probably not going to be saved.
Right. So then...
He saves Harvey anyway.
He saves Harvey. And when the building explodes, the half of his body that's covered with gasoline catches on fire, which introduces us to our next...
Antagonist.
Two-Face. Because, of course, the half-burned side, the regular side.
Which I really liked what he did with it. He used CGI to demonstrate it, but he also did, like, a lot of makeup work on the top of Harvey's head to, like, look like he was a real burn victim. And they said that... when Gordon comes in, he said that the doctor said you're refusing skin grafts and anything for the pain. And, you know, in which case Harvey looks at him and you know that Harvey is, you get your first taste of Harvey Dent Two-Face.
Right. So then we cut back to Colin Reese on this news channel. This is right after everything went down with Harvey Dent and Rachel. Colin Reese is there. He says he doesn't feel right letting people die to protect this secret any longer. So then they start taking calls, and who calls in but the Joker calls in. Now, during this whole interaction, before this, the Joker actually escapes the MCU with Lao.
Using the glass that was... Batman, basically using a weapon that Batman provided for him, using the glass that he slammed him against the wall, and by doing so, he aggravated another police officer to the point of pulling him into a physical confrontation that he knew he would eventually win. And by doing so, he also had a plan in place to get himself out. He knew this was... The Joker had planted a bomb in the man's stomach, and that, you know, when he made the phone call, and that's all that he wanted was his phone call, he blew the police station apart, signifying his henchmen to come in and pull him out, in which they took a police car and escaped with Lao. And it playfully shows the Joker hanging out the police car window like a dog, which he later references. But we'll get to that.
So then at this point, we see Lao. He's on top of the big pile of money because he found the money, which he told that the mob, he told the mob dealers or the mob bosses he was going to do. In which then we get another interaction between the Russian? A Joker and the Russian mob boss, in which
the Russian kind of always backed him. He was the first one to say, "I agree with the clown in the room of bosses."
And right.
The Russians kind of always backed the Joker, just because the Russian's tired of getting his ass beat by the bat.
But then we see the Joker's. Well, the Joker looks at him, and the Joker's henchmen are pouring gasoline over all the money, which Lau is sitting on top of. And we see the Joker take the Russian cigar, blow on it, make sure that the cherry's hot, and throw it in and start the money on fire. In which the Russian's like, "What are you doing?" He said, "Don't worry, I'm only burning my half. This town needs a better class of criminal. All you care about is money. So you and all your guys now work for me." In which the Russian did not like that. Mm-mm. In which then the Joker looks at the Russian and says, "Well, we'll see how loyal
a hungry dog is." Really is.
And
which time the Russian's henchmen seize him and take him in and presumably feed him to his Rottweilers.
Yeah.
Because he's never heard of again.
At that point, Jim is staging a raid on the area where this meeting is happening. And we then see the Joker call in to the newscast and say, "Hey, look, I don't want him ruining all the fun. If he's not dead within an hour, I'm going to blow up a hospital." Which essentially stops the raid that was about to happen.
And also, I mean, not only a hospital, Gotham General, which is, you know, like, that's the hospital. The hospital of the city. I mean, that's where all the, you know, the patients are, the important patients, the children, the women,
right. So forth. So then we go into, them starting to disband, go to all of the local hospitals. They're calling in everybody. Jim takes two officers with him to go get Colin Reese, in which they do end up picking him up. And as they pick him up, people are shooting through the glass at the studio, trying to kill him. And we then have
him in. They cut to him in the van, and basically the man in the truck revs his engine to ram the truck that Reese and Gordon are in to kill Reese. And an interesting fact about this part of the movie: as Batman propels himself with his Lamborghini in front of this big Ford F-250, the actual Lamborghini that he was driving, the Italian word for what that Lamborghini is the Bat.
There we go.
That was a little. It's just like a little interesting Easter egg about the movie.
But he speeds up, takes the impact.
Right.
Reese is out. And then we cut to...
Well, we see Reese say, get out of the van and say, "Who saved me?" And he said, "Thank him." And he points at Bruce Wayne, who obviously we know that Reese knows is Batman, and then realizes, damn it, man, he saved me anyway. Even
right.
No, so I didn't deserve it.
We cut to the hospital. We cut to Gotham General. They're evacuating the hospital. And, of course, this is, of course, the hospital where Harvey is being kept at. With this, we then go to them getting ready to move Harvey. There's a nurse in the room. He tells them that they have to move him, and the nurse turns around and shoots him. And then we discover that the nurse is the Joker
in disguise.
We then
with a Vote for Harvey Dent sticker on his.
We then cut to a very interesting conversation, where we actually start to see the Joker's motives in this. And the motive is that there is no motive.
It's literally just
him trying to create chaos.
Unleash chaos.
In the world.
Right,
exactly. And we get the reference again of, I'm an agent of chaos. I'm a dog chasing a car. I wouldn't know what to do when I call.
Right, he referenced himself as a dog chasing a car, which again, he, back at this, you know, when he escapes the MCU, he's playfully hanging out the back window of the cop car,
right,
with his tongue out and his hair going like he's a dog that's going on a ride, you know, signifying that he is just chaos unleashed. There is no certain direction or way that he cares to go as long as the chaos is unleashed. But there is a sense of direction. He is, like, again, he's a very intelligent villain to Batman. He's a very like viable adversary to Batman as far as intelligence and how he uses that in the psychological war against Batman.
Right. So then we see him releasing Harvey Dent from his restraints, and we see him give Harvey a revolver. And he looks at Harvey while handing him the revolver. He puts the revolver in his hands. He pulls the hammer back, and he says, introduce a little anarchy. And this is where we get the introduction of Harvey actually becoming Two-Face. He has the traditional two-headed coin, but since the accident, one side is scraped up, the
burned.
Other side is not.
The one side burned.
Yeah, signifying Harvey's two faces.
Mm-hmm.
And we see him look at the Joker. You live, you die. Flips the coin. Of course, by realizing that the Joker lives, he won. So then we see the split here.
Another interesting fact about that scene, if you look very, very closely, the Joker never took his thumb off the hammer.
Correct. So he was staging it to look like Harvey had this choice, but it never...
He was never going to give him the choice of killing him. He knew that that couldn't be a possibility. He needed to go forth to deter the Bat and to, you know, do whatever he could to antagonize the Bat.
So we then see Harvey go on his way. We see the Joker leaving the hospital. As he leaves the hospital, he sets off the demo charges that his henchmen have set, effectively destroying Gotham General, and we see him hopping on a bus in which was full of patients.
Real quick, a really cool little Easter egg about the movie that I think is hilarious is that they only had one chance at that demolition because it was a demolition of an old mall or something like that.
Yeah.
It was an old building that was being demoed, so they only had one chance. And when the Joker flicked the button to unleash the explosion and only half of it went off and he smacks it
and
it's
right, yeah.
That was all Ledger's improv into being what the hell? And then all of a sudden it explodes and it scares him, startles him, and he jumps on the bus. But yeah, the explosion actually was it wasn't supposed to delay like that. That was an actual malfunction in the explosions. And then Heath Ledger starts banging the thing what the hell?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it explodes and startles him and he jumps on the bus oh shit.
Yeah.
I've always thought that was an interesting little factoid about the...
So now we reached a point in the movie where we have a definite split in the plot line.
Mm.
We now have the Two-Face plot line going on, and we have the continuing Joker plot line going on. So with this...
I really thought that, the first time I saw this movie, I pretty much thought that it was, supposed to end soon, and I was in for a treat there for about another hour or so.
Yeah, maybe. It did continue. So with that, we get another video from the Joker. Now, what's interesting about this one is because Heath Ledger did so well with the first video that he shot by himself, no one just gave him full creative unmonitored
measures
just do with whatever. It to basically just shoot whatever
free
he
game.
Wanted to shoot.
Yep.
And
what you come back with, we'll use.
With that, I mean...
It's also important to note, too, that by this point, Ledger had fallen very deeply into the role of the Joker. He was using drugs to calm his mind and stuff. He was losing his marbles by this point. People said that when he walked around set, he never, ever broke character. He was always the Joker.
Right. So, we get the video in which he threatens to... he tells everybody in Gotham to leave the town that...
But the bridges and fair... Or
don't take
and
the
tunnels.
Bridges and tunnels because there's a surprise. So then we see...
Forcing everyone to get on ferries.
Correct. Now, as they get on the ferries, we start to see them go, and then the ferries actually die. The engines in the ferries actually die.
And it's also interesting to note that they precisely took the criminals out of Arkham and the jail so that the Joker couldn't unleash them basically.
Mm-hmm.
But what they really did by doing that was play right into the Joker's hand.
Right.
And so, infuriating the common people of why are these criminals being led away before us. Also, the other boat was modern citizens who felt the same as the other citizens, that there should be more citizens on that boat and not a bunch of criminals getting off the island.
Right. So we have that going on. both engines die, both first mates go down, discover that there's massive bombs underneath both of the boats, and there's a box. Now, when both of them return with the box, we hear the Joker cut in to the loudspeakers.
Right.
And he says, only one of you has to blow up the other one. By you have midnight. Until midnight to make your decision. Is it going to be the Gotham citizens or Harvey Dent's Most Wanted?
Yeah.
And so then we start to see everybody freaking out. And they're trying to make this decision on who's going to live and who's going to die. Now, this, in my opinion, is one of the most powerful moments of the movie.
I agree.
Because we see, first we see the citizens, and they're all trying to say, we should do it, we shouldn't do it. They vote, and they end up, it ends up being a very close vote to doing it versus not doing it.
But doing it does win.
Doing it does win. We see the ringleader of the blow everybody up group say, oh, no one wants to get their hands dirty, I'll do it.
The captain doesn't want to do it.
Right. He gets up, he grabs the trigger, and he can't do it himself. But on the other side, we see...
Debo.
Yeah. Debo. he gets up, and he goes up to the captain, and he says, look, I'll do it. Tell him I took it by force.
I'm a killer.
You don't have it in you. You don't want this on your conscience, so I'll do it. So he grabs the trigger, and this is the part I was talking about. He actually throws the trigger out of the boat.
Signifying that...
they understand that they're already condemned for their sins, and these other people don't need that to...
Right, and it's very powerful, too, because you see all his, like, gang members, basically. They all surround... like, he sits down, and they surround him in, like, prayer, basically. As in, you know, we're... anybody, you know, he made, like, this was a collective decision. This is our leader. He made this decision, and we stand by him. Right. And we're going to protect him from anybody that tries to be angry that he
Correct.
Does.
So then we cut to the Joker and the Bat. They're having their final battle. Of course, we get the Joker doing his thing. He actually ends up...
with a crowbar.
Taking the Batman, the Bat down... and explaining his grandmaster plan to him.
I love that he unleashed the dogs, and then he comes in with, like, it, you know, the way he beats Batman physically is not, he doesn't really beat him physically. He more, like, again, Bruce is unaware of his surroundings and gets trapped under something, and the Joker lands on top of him with the crowbar, which in the famous line that I love is, here we go.
Yeah. And then we see them sitting there, and then the Joker looks at the clock, realizes that it's midnight, goes to pull his detonator out to blow up both boats. And what ends up happening is they start having their back and forth where Batman asks them, what are you trying to prove by doing this? And with that, Batman then turns around and says, are you trying to prove that everybody's as ugly inside as you are?
And which the Joker... scoffs basically and tells the Bat that, I mean, yeah, that is essentially what he wants to prove, is that everybody can be driven to a point of insanity. And where Nolan gets this from is The Killing Joke.
Mm-hmm.
The Joker puts Jim Gordon through the ringer. He rapes his daughter and shows him pictures of it as he rides on this children's ride through this carnival, as he's essentially stripped naked and just, you know, beaten on by the Joker's henchmen. Then they throw him in this cart and they show him all these pictures. But essentially, at the end of the story, when Batman comes to save Gordon, and Gordon has been thoroughly tortured, before Batman leaves, he says, I'm going to end this once and for all. And Jim Gordon grabs him and says, by the book, signifying that he had not lost his mind and the Joker had not broken him.
Right. So then...
was infuriated, the Joker.
So in the movie, though, the Joker, after he scoffs, decides that he's going to start talking about his scars again. And he says, do you know where I got these scars from? And Batman said, no, but I know where you got these from.
Actually, and has, that, yeah.
spring-loaded batarangs in his
hooks.
Yeah, in his suit, in which he shoots up, hits the Joker, flings the Joker off the edge of the building, in which he then captures him with the grappling gun and pulls him back up.
But as the Joker's falling, he's thoroughly happy to be dying right now because he's proved that the Batman would kill him.
Yes.
But he doesn't.
Right. So then we cut to Batman bringing him back up. And
you just couldn't let me die.
Right. And then we get the classic, this is what happens when a unmovable force meets an unbreakable object.
An unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
Right.
Which is essentially a train meeting a brick wall.
Right. So with that...
Better.
We're going to have to wrap this up pretty quick. But with that, Batman ends up tying him up. Joker says, I see us going on like this forever. And Batman says, not likely. Then we cut over to the Two-Face side of things. And I just want to touch on this briefly because there's a very important part at the very end of the movie that comes off of this. But Two-Face essentially goes through the ranks.
Through Maroni's men, finding who actually was the control, who let the Joker off the leash, is what he said. He's just a mad dog. I wonder who let him off the leash, which was essentially the Russian and Maroni.
Right. So then, after everything's done, Harvey blames Gordon, because his men were involved with it.
Right.
So
Gordon... And he did try to warn him, but Gordon was doing the best with what he had, as he said.
Right. So Gordon ends up taking... Or Harvey ends up taking Gordon's family hostage, calls Gordon and says, you need to come and meet me where my family ended.
Right.
Essentially meaning the building where Rachel died.
Right, yep.
We then see how far Harvey has fallen. He basically leaves the... he makes Gordon look at his son and tell him that everything's going to be all right, even though Harvey is planning on shooting
him. He's going to kill him, yeah. He wants to prove that Gordon... He says, lie to him like I lied to her.
So then we see the Batman enter in after the whole Joker situation's over with. And he says, don't blame his family. It wasn't him. We were three men. We took action. We failed.
Right.
So then he said, you're right. He points a gun at Gordon, flips the coin.
Comes up.
Good. Moves on to the bat.
No, he comes to himself then.
Oh, yeah. He comes to himself, flips the coin, it comes up bad, but he doesn't shoot himself.
No, that's... he comes up good, and he goes, oh, good for me. And then,
then he points
at the bat, and he shoots him.
Right.
In which case, then he turns the gun back to Gordon. And the bat comes out of nowhere, tackles him off the ledge, accidentally breaking his neck while they both... Because the bat was shot, so, you know, he just tackles Gordon out of reaction off this ledge. They both fall, tumbling down to the ground. Obviously, the bat has a little more maneuverability. Harvey ends up breaking his neck and dying, in which case the police are showing up, swarming the place, and he tells Gordon...
Basically, I'm the one who killed those men. I'm the one who did all this. You're going to chase me. I'm going to be the villain. In which then we get one of the most iconic lines of the movie, which is...
I'm who they want, but not who they deserve. But they, signifying the... Or I'm not what they wanted, I'm what they deserved. But Harvey is what they wanted.
Right, and Harvey is what they need.
Harvey is what they need.
So he's taking the essential blame for everybody that Harvey killed so that Harvey can still be the White Knight of Gotham.
Yes, and he...
And then we cut to Gordon
talking to him. Calls himself the Dark Knight.
Yeah, we cut to Gordon talking to his son, in which he explains that we're going to chase him, not because he's the hero that we needed, or that we wanted, it's because he's the hero that we needed.
Right.
And then Gordon references him as the Dark Knight. And then we see
Batman
being chased
off into the night by the cops, which he obviously gets away.
Correct.